surprised me a bit. Thank you. Well, good afternoon. I want to say thank you to all those who came out today. So nearly all the votes have been counted, and it appears that Chris Collins will be returning to Washington to represent the people of the 27th Congressional District. After discussing the matter thoroughly with counsel, I believe it is in the best interest of the community to move on from this chapter to the next. And so, with some regret, I offer my concession to Mr. Collins. It was a hard decision. A huge part of me wants to continue to fight. I can't just fake it. I can't smile and pretend that everything that went down for the last year is okay. And so my concession comes with a warning. Mr. Collins, you won by the slimmest of margins, less than 0.5%, in a district designed to ensure anyone with an R next to his name, even an indicted criminal, would win a decisive victory. Still, you almost lost. Part of me wants that fight because you resorted to extreme measures. You lied about me. You lied about my family. You hid from the media and the people you represent. You refused to face me in the time-honored tradition of a public debate. Your strategy was, by your own admission, cowardice and partisanship. So I will be watching. We all will be watching. We are not going anywhere. Together with the countless supporters that have stood up across this district and throughout the country, we built something special. We ignored the naysayers, and we fought like hell for what we believe in. We learned that at a grassroots level, people have the power to break the political machine. Now, this is a point I want to make. In this election, this team had the largest partisan swing of any state or federal race in the country. That's quite amazing. And we built this movement from the ground up, from scratch. I'm proud. I always said we did it with potlucks and picnics, and that's what we did. We did not have overwhelming outside support. We raised over $1.2 million in just over 3 months. Our campaign funds came from regular people, from people that are our neighbors. They came from firemen. They came from people who work in hospitals. They came from teachers and office workers, senior citizens. There are few feelings more humbling than when someone comes up to you at a campaign event and grabs you by the hand and says, "I donated $5 to your campaign, Nate." And it happened to me many times. For the first time in a very long time, the people of the 27th Congressional District felt their voice was heard and their vote mattered. My heart will not allow me to abandon these people and disappear. I can't do it. So today we are conceding this race, but I am proudly announcing the formation of a new organization, Fight Like Hell. You can look at it at fightlikehell.us. We're going to use this organization to organize. I'm going to take the thousands of people we've met, the hundreds of people we've worked together with, and we're going to pay it forward. We're going to find ways to work to get people who feel disenfranchised or apathetic about politics more involved. I want more people to run for office, regular people, not millionaires, not people who cheat the system, but decent and kind and good people. I want people to hold their leadership accountable. So we're going to do things like hold town halls. Now, whether Mr. Collins wants to do that or not, we don't care. He can show up to our town halls if he wants. Beyond that, Mr. Collins' future in Washington remains murky. He says that he will finish his term, but as we know, he's not the best at keeping promises. Let me say it here first. When the time is right, I will run for office again. Now, I've met a lot of people who are sad. They come up to me in supermarkets or they come up to me all over the place and they say they're sorry and they're sad about what this means for our entire region. I want to say, do not be sad. Be of good cheer. Like I said, this is this huge swing, this unprecedented swing in votes. That means that thousands and thousands of conservatives, independents, and Republicans decided to trust me, a Democrat. It's something that's very unusual, and I'm proud of it. And we are not represented by the values of Mr. Collins and the opportunistic pundits and politicians who supported him represent. That's not who we are. We are the thousands of folks who stood up to him and stood on corners. We are the ones who wrote postcards by hand. We're the ones who knocked doors. Remember on election night how many people were out of this office knocking doors in the cold and the wind? Mm-hmm. That's who we are. We are the thousands of Republicans and conservatives, independents took a chance on me. We are the folks who are already gearing up for the next election. Indeed, we are what America represents. We are hope, we are kindness, we are decency, and we are integrity. Sure, we lost. What if we lost fighting for unions and the middle class and health care for every American? So be it. We'll be ready for the next fight. Stay strong, protect it from the wind, but let your light glow. We will be back. Thank you. With that, I'll be happy to take a few questions.
Mr. McMurray.
Yes, sir, Mr. McKinley.
When did you come to this conclusion, sir, about what time?
We had a lot of talk about it. It came to me, the final conclusion was, frankly, this morning. There's a lot of people that wanted me to continue to fight and to go through a recount and to continue to claw back every single vote. And I have concerns about the process. I have concerns about how it works, and seeing it up close, seeing behind the curtain is a little scary. But I feel the alchemy that would be required to go back and count all those votes and claw all that back, I think it's not the right decision at this time. And as we know, there'll be other opportunities for us to fight, and we'll follow through on those later.
Can you say that when the time is right, I'll run again? Are you thinking about perhaps a time in a not-so-distant future when, due to the court case against him, Mr. Collins might find himself unable to serve out his term and there could be a special election? Is that what you're saying? You would think that?
We have to speculate, but it's definitely something that I feel strongly about. I feel strongly about keeping on Mr. Collins. He made a lot of promises during this campaign, and I'm going to make sure he's keeping those promises.
Dave, worth noting that you are still currently the Grand Island Town Supervisor. When you talk about running again, are you considering that seat again? Are you looking at other seats?
Well, I am going to make sure that our duties are fulfilled for the rest of that term. I love Grand Island. It is a beautiful place, and I love the people of Grand Island. But we are going to look at our options going forward. But I think as part of my duties as a public persona at this point, I want to make sure that Mr. Collins doesn't get away with continuing to do what he did in the past, and that is move forward without any accountability. I want to show some transparency. I want to put some sunshine on who he is and what he's doing. He made a lot of promises. Let's see if he keeps those promises.
What do you mean you're going to continue holding town halls? Are they going to be regular town halls?
We're going to figure that out, but I'm telling you, we're going to have meetings where people can express their concerns. We have a congressman who has said publicly on multiple occasions he thinks that opportunities for people to ask him questions in a public basis are inappropriate and unnecessary. I don't think that's how America is supposed to work. So we're going to make sure that we have those opportunities for people to speak out against Mr. Collins, and so they can say how they feel about his leadership. Now, that's pro or con. I've been throughout this campaign, I've met with anybody who wanted to speak with me on both sides of the aisle. We have people from across the political spectrum behind me right now. I think that's how America is supposed to work, and we're going to make sure that we have that public discourse, that marketplace of ideas.
Can you give us any other details on what Fight Like Hell will actually be? Is this going to be a political organization that is maybe an independent expenditure committee that will be putting money toward candidates, or is it going to be something more?
It very well may be, but we have to make sure we dot all the I's and cross all the T's going forward. This is what I'll say about that. When I first started running for office, I was doing it out of the back of my Ford, the same Ford that sits outside right now. And I said, look, we're just going to run for office. We're going to do this the right way. We're going to fight for what we believe in. And that's the way we did it. Now, there was a little naivety in that, because this is a very difficult undertaking. And you need an infrastructure. You need a network to do it. And we have created that know-how, that infrastructure, that network. We have a team now. We have a team I believe in. And I think we can, like I said, pay it forward to other candidates who may be intimidated by the process. I want to help educate people on how you can actually get involved in politics. There's a lot of mystery to the average person about it, and I think that's what makes people apathetic. So I do want to support other candidates. I want to bring people into the process that aren't normally part of the process. And so that's why we created the website for people to sign up now, fightlikehell.us. It's just something I feel strongly in because it was so hard just to get the basics, just to learn the basics about filings and infrastructure and teamwork and fundraising, et cetera. And if I can do a small part in helping more people get involved in politics, I'll do that. And I'll just to add one more thing. America only works, it's a republic. And republics only work if everyone's involved. This is all of our job to be involved. And a lot of people think, oh, I'm not interested in politics, it's not my duty. But as American citizens, it's all of our duty. So that's what it's going to be about, helping making sure people can fulfill that duty.
Nate, you've taken a couple of shots at the way elections work in New York State, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, if you were to go to the Democrats who are going to be taking over the legislature in Albany the first of the year, is there a single change you want in the state's election law?
Well, I think it has to be easier for people to vote, number one. And maybe, I mean, there's a lot of things we can consider, whether that's having a holiday where people vote or whether it's automatic registration, et cetera. But I do think that if you look at an election, this is an election in the size of a state of Rhode Island and Delaware. And it's been decided by less than 0.5%. Now, if we wanted to, we can make this painful and go on for months and months and months and claw back and look at every vote that was cast away or every vote that was there was questions about. I just don't think that's the best way to do it in the greatest democracy in the world. We have to be able to use technology and the brightest minds among us to make this antiquated system more modern and more efficient. I mean, it was kind of crazy that we still didn't understand how many votes were outstanding a couple days before the final vote. And in fact, we haven't even had the final vote. There's still hundreds of military and overseas ballots that haven't been counted yet. And to me, the system that lingers and lingers for months and months after an election date, and where you have, it just lends itself to dispute. So I could have gone at this with a lawsuit, and that's something we considered, or I considered finding other ways to help fix the system. And I think fixing the system from the grassroots level up and helping put pressure on legislators to help make changes is the best way to go forward. So you asked for one change. I think there's lots of change, and I need to look at it from a holistic view. Congressman Higgins does a good job for our region, and I think I was proud to have almost had the opportunity to serve with him in Washington. I know he works hard, and I would have loved to have the opportunity to be beside him to represent Western New York instead of have what we have now, which I will state boldly because I feel I have a duty to do so. I believe Mr. Collins's record shows clearly that he has used his position to enrich himself and his family, and I don't say that from a partisan point of perspective. Again, I almost won this election because a lot of people who are Republicans decided to go against partisan politics and said, we're going to go a different way. And I think if you look at this objectively, not as a team sport, this isn't the Bills versus the Patriots. This is something about how we find the best people to represent our region. Mr. Collins has such a checkered past, such a difficult record, such a record of not representing us or even caring. He has not. You saw his commercials. He didn't have anything to run on. And I'm not bitter about it. I think we have to call it out so we don't create a precedent here. And speaking of his commercials, we all know his commercials were troubling. Many of your stations called those commercials out. There's one thing I want to say. I mean, it was difficult. It's difficult to run against commercials that are so patently false. I remember being out there knocking doors, and I had a woman say to me once, I can't vote for you. I saw you break a window. I said, I never broke a window. She said, I saw it in the TV. And I had to explain to her that wasn't me. And I think the power of that medium to send these horrible messages across, it is scary. It's troubling stuff. And I'm proud that our campaign run a campaign on positivity, on commercials that we're proud of. We're proud that our commercials came across your kids' YouTube channel. We're proud that our commercials were in your living room. And we're proud that we didn't lie or cheat and steal as we run for this position.
How hard has this been on your family because they've been kind of maligned in this campaign?
It's been horrible. It made me love my family even more. I think that I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of what we represent. I just can't believe anyone, any politician, any of the people that stood with Mr. Collins can stand for what he represented, which is bigotry. And we need to be bold about that. It's bigotry. It's not American. And I love my family.
Nate, I might have missed this before, but did you call Chris Collins yourself to concede?
I've been asking for Mr. Collins for multiple months. He can call me right now. I'll do it live on TV if he gives me his number. I'd love to talk to him. Let's have a long chat. There's all kinds of things I want to talk about, and I'd be proud to concede with him on the phone. I can't call someone who hides from me. And we know the video. The guy's been hiding from me for months. He said it's his strategy to hide from me. I can't call Mr. Collins. I'd love to. Any other, one more question? We'll get out. Okay, we're good. Thank you, guys. We'll see you soon.